Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis and special guest John Leinberger, Vice President of Dallas Baptist University. They will discuss John's testimony of what God did with a mess like me.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life. I'm your host, Janine Davis, and we're here this morning with a special guest, John Leinberger. I'd like to introduce John to you. John Leinberger is an assistant vice president at Dallas Baptist University, directing DBU's Northern Most Regional Academic Center and teaching as an adjunct professor. He earned a doctorate degree from the University of Alabama and has been recognized as a leader by several noted business journals. And you can know... You can contact John at johnleinberger.com. But I'm going to repeat that at the end of the show. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Janine. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, you know what? I thank you for connecting with me. And I prayed and asked God what you would have to give the body of Christ. And when I got some of this information, this book, and of course, you know, there's a lot of people that are writing books right now. And of course, people know that have listened to my show that I don't sell books, movies, and things of that nature. But what I do like for my guests to do is to minister to an audience nationally and abroad about your walk with Christ and what he has done. There are certain things in this publication, in this book, that I believe is going to empower the body of Christ. The journey that the Holy Spirit has taken you, John, is phenomenal. And even though when we're in it, it's like it's an isolated incident, nobody understands, it's only me. It's really never really about us, but about how we respond to the circumstances we're in and how God-driven we are in that response. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, went through the chapters last night and I highlighted, as you can see, and I was just praying and just wanting the audience to connect with some of the things that you want to talk about. So why don't we start with the beginning?
Okay. Yeah, I was born a preacher's kid. I was fortunate to have Christian parents that loved me and raised me with an understanding of who Jesus Christ was. I didn't always live for Christ, though. I had an understanding of Jesus and his power. But somewhere along the way, I began to make more rebellious decisions for myself and want to live for myself. I'll back up, actually move ahead, and then I'll back up. But I'll read you a letter just to set the tone that my mother wrote me after I completed my doctorate from the University of Alabama. And in it, she said, "I don't think I told you when you were in junior high. After I would drop you off at school, I would go home and lay across my bed with my Bible open and begin to pray for you. I did that several times a week. I don't know if you ever realized how painful it was for me as a parent to see you struggle academically. I know I was not the perfect parent I needed to be to you at times, and I'm truly sorry, but you were always in my heart and I was constantly praying for you. I don't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do at times but pray. I really loved you and felt very guilty for not being the mature mom you needed. I remember when we lived in Southlake, as I continued to pray for you one day, I sat at the floor at the foot of my bed and was praying for you. I sat there very frustrated with the Lord and just couldn't figure out why God was not answering my prayers. I felt God encouraging me to start praising him for what he was going to do in your life. So I did at that point, and that's when I really began to see God move in your life. I think that was in 1998. As I said, thank God for praying parents.
Yes.
And even when you don't know what to do or what to say, when you continually go to God and pray and seek him,
yes,
he will answer your prayers in his own time.
And you are a result of those prayers.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful for parents who would get on their knees and pray for me.
Yes. So let me interject 1 minute with the audience. If you have children that are struggling in academics, it may be ADD or ADHD, it may be you, it may be someone that you know, give them a call and join us here at KDKR 91.3 FM Vine Life. I really believe that you're going to get some manna today, and this will help you tremendously and encourage you in encouraging your loved ones or maybe perhaps yourself. Okay, John, so your mother was a prayer warrior. She prayed for you. And of course, it hurts any parent to see their child struggling. But let's talk about you a minute.
Okay.
What you were going through in your mind and in your heart when you just couldn't get it right, or when students were teasing you, or, you know, the teachers, you know, might have looked at you sometimes like, well, he's just not trying. This is ridiculous. How did you feel, and what did you want to do during that time?
Well, I had a low self-esteem. And going back to your first question and drawing these two together, when I was really young, we moved to the DFW area so that my father could attend seminary. Shortly after we moved, however, I was molested by a neighbor. You know, that's one of my earliest memories, unfortunately. And I know that my parents probably had conversations with God that went something like, Lord, why did you allow this to happen to our son? Why does our family have to go through this? We're trying to serve you, and we don't understand this. And we may not always understand why God allows certain things, but what I do know is that God can use it for his glory when you fully submit to him. Going through elementary, I was a terrible student. I struggled academically. It was difficult for me to read. I had to take a special help to read. I would go off during the reading time in class, and I would have an assistant that would help me. I would do various reading videotapes and audio tapes at home to help me read better. But I had struggled. And for a while, I did make some improvement. But then I changed schools and began to struggle again. I'd been at a private Christian school and went to a public school, and I was open to more things at that point. And, you know, I began to make some rebellious decisions. I never felt like a normal boy. I can remember thinking as a child, I just wish I was normal. My parents didn't allow me to do all the things that my friends' parents allowed them to do. What I didn't understand was that my parents were just older and wiser, and they wanted to keep me out of a lot of trouble, and it would have would have saved me so much trouble had I listened to my parents. But I thought I knew what was best for my life.
How old were you?
At that point, it was going into fifth grade when I began to make some decisions. And you know, I moved at the new school, and girls began to pay attention to me. At the other private school, I remember one occasion where I liked a girl in elementary, and I gave her a note. And right in front of me, she wadded up and threw it in the trash without reading it. And that was another one of those things that just began to cut down my self-esteem, where I didn't feel a whole lot of worth as a person. But as I began to make some of the rebellious decisions and kind of get a name, you know, do things to shock people, I began to develop more of a name to being rebellious, where I wasn't successful at school, but maybe I could be successful at being a bad boy.
So do you think that this came from anger? You were getting angry, you were getting fed up, and you just...
You know, I've tried to psychoanalyze why I made a lot of the decisions I made. You know, what was my parents too strict? You know, I have Native American genes. Did that have anything to do with it? And really, it comes down to we're born with a sinful nature. And I don't know why I always made some of the decisions that I did, but I did make them. And I own those, and I'm remorseful and sorry for those.
Yeah. Well, I want you to know that I was also molested. I was 5 years old. And sometimes, you know, when you're a child and that happens to you, you learn how to survive. You learn how to regress a lot of your thoughts, your memories, and it builds anger because you don't understand. You don't understand why. You don't understand what. You don't understand anything. You're a child. But it's going to come out, and it's going to come out in many other ways that you may not understand. But it's something that happens, unfortunately, sadly, it still happens today. And it's something that we as a church, as a whole, we're going to have to really start putting education in place within our church system to look at this and to see what we as a church can do as a whole to help children or people that have been hurt in this way. I always call it an unrighteous seed that Satan has planted, and it takes root and it grows. But I want to interject again, thank God for a mother's prayers.
Amen.
Because what I see in front of me, audience, you can't see him, but I see him as a blessing to the body of Christ. I see the Holy Spirit, and I could see the Holy Spirit in living waters as I was going through his life story. So, okay, John, I'm going to let you continue.
Okay.
So I want to ask you this. During those, you called it the worst year of your life, what made you hit bottom? What do you think made you just stop and say, you know what, I want to change?
It was coming to the end of myself. When I got into high school, I began the decisions I made had more severe consequences. I began to experiment with alcohol. I became sexually active. And I can't tell you how much those decisions have affected my life to this day. Going into my junior year, I was still making bad grades. You know, I hated to read in front of the class. My hands would sweat, and it would just be so humiliating stumbling across paragraphs in front of my peers in school and often hearing them, you know, laugh or snicker under their breath. And so those were painful. I'm not blaming anybody. I own my own decisions. But as I became more rebellious, as I mentioned, consequences became more severe. I was arrested on several occasions. And going into the spring of my junior year, a girl I'd been dating, I discovered she had become pregnant. And we were both only 17 years old, very scared, both immature, not realizing how lasting the effects would be from the decisions that we make. We had contemplated what to do. We agonized over what to do. And when we finally made a decision, we decided on abortion. I know that some people, some Christians even, can be cruel and judgmental at times.
Yes.
And my father being a pastor, I felt like if some of the members of our church or even people within the community had discovered that the pastor's son had gotten a girl pregnant, that my father might be asked to step down, that he could lose his job, and even if he wasn't asked to leave the church or the ministry, that maybe he might be too embarrassed or even ashamed to go on as a pastor. And so we made that decision privately for an abortion, and 18 years, you know, 19 years now, I still think about that decision almost every day. But at that point, it still didn't change my behavior. I continued on, and what should have been one of the best years of my life, my senior year of high school, ended up being one of the worst years of my life. I was starting both ways, offense and defense, on South Lake Carroll's football team, and we had just won two back-to-back state championships. But partway through the season, I again made some bad decisions at a party one night, for which I ended up having to spend a night and day in jail. And I was called into the head coach's office of the football team, and I was told that I was no longer allowed on the football team, and I became devastated. Up to that point, my identity had been wrapped around being an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And my father and his brothers had played football in college, and I thought, you know, one day I'll follow in their legacy and play football in college, even though I hadn't really made any plans. I'd received a few letters from some small schools, but at that point I thought no school is going to want John Lineberger to come play on their football team. I continued to spiral down into a deep depression. I was coping with my emotions through drinking. There were times that I would drink before school, times that I would drink during school even. With a month left to graduate, I was in-school suspension at the time for getting into a fight, and the assistant principal called me out of in-school suspension and into his office. And when I got into his office, sitting across from his desk were my parents, and he asked me to sit down behind his desk. And he began to tell me, John, you're out of control, and you can no longer stay here at Carroll. But if you'll go to rehab, we'll allow you to walk with the rest of your class. So I did at that point, and fortunately, it took me out of a bad situation. I was really out of control as a person. I was depressed. I was angry. You know, my girlfriend and I were split up at that point. One of the reasons I was in school suspension, I'd gotten in a fight with a guy that she was dating. And so I felt a lot of rejection. I was angry. I didn't like my life. I didn't like who I was. I felt like there was no way out of the hole that I had dug for myself. And so I went into rehab, and it was a safe place for me. It got me out of that environment, but it didn't really change who I was. At that point, I hadn't submitted my life to the Lord. I was invited to live with my aunt and uncle out of town, and I went and lived with them for that summer. And it was great for a while, and we have a great relationship. They love me and took great care of me. But I began to hang out with some more people who drank, and so I continued to make wrong decisions there. They were enrolling in a community college there in town, some of those friends I had made, so I thought, you know, I don't really have any plans for myself at this point, so I'll enroll in that community college along with them, and enrolled in 15 hours that fall. At the end of that fall semester, the only two classes I passed were art appreciation and racquetball. And the only reason I passed art appreciation was I convinced the instructor that landscaping was art,
yeah.
And I went and raked her leaves, and she gave me a C to pass the class.
That. Yeah, it's funny.
No, that will not work at DBU, though. I just want your audience listeners
to know that. It
probably
won't work at a lot of universities.
But after that semester, my dad said, if you're not going to take school serious, you need to come back home and find a job. So that's what I did. Came back home, began working, and continued to live out that lifestyle of drinking and partying and not hanging out with people who were living their lives for the Lord. And that continued for about another 9 months till I was so sick of myself that, you know, there were points that in high school and points even after that I didn't want to live, and I had even held a gun to my head, but I just couldn't pull the trigger and do that to my family. But in October of 97, I remember praying and just at night saying, God, just don't allow me to wake up. I just don't want to go on anymore. I was just so defeated in life and didn't think that there was any way that my circumstances could be any better than what they are because of the poor decisions I had made. I didn't think any employer would really want me. I didn't think I'd ever be successful at life. But a few more weeks went by. I remember praying, God, just give me one more chance. Still at that point, I wasn't ready to live my life for God completely. I wasn't ready to give up some of the friends I was hanging out or the girl I was dating. But I began to feel a stronger conscience at the things I was doing. And so a few more months went by, and I remember New Year's Eve, 96, 97. I was ready to party that night, and I took one drink of the alcohol I had purchased, and I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I poured that out. I didn't have another drink that night, and couple more weeks went by, and I had a good friend named Aaron, and he was living his life for the Lord. Coincidentally, he was actually a ministerial student at DBU at that time. We'd met each other in church. The only reason I believe he hung out with me was because we both loved to fly fish. And so we were going fishing one evening. I pulled my truck over and I told Aaron what I was going through, and Aaron prayed with me right there, and he said, John, you know, tomorrow is Sunday. At the invitation of the service, if you want to go and give your life fully to the Lord, I'll walk down that aisle with you. I said, Aaron, I think that's what I want to do. So at the invitation of the service that my father preached, I stepped out in the aisle with Aaron by my side. I walked down. I threw my arms around my dad.
I
told
okay.
him
it's okay.
How sorry I was. And that I wanted to live my life for the Lord.
Yes.
And with tears back in his eyes, he said, John, I love you. When you were born, we dedicated your life to the Lord. And that was one of the best days of my life. At that point, I felt so much release. You know, I felt like I'd been at the bottom of a dog pile, and somebody had come in and started pulling people off me, and I could
yes.
finally breathe. I could finally exhale. And at that point, I knew it was Jesus that had come in.
Amen. Yes.
And started pulling away all the layers
yeah.
of the sin and the guilt and the shame that I'd spent years covering my life with.
Well, let me just interject a minute I want to say this because I read, you know, with your friend that wrote you a letter, Aaron. But before he even offered to go to the altar with you, you said that the Holy Spirit had already given you a conscience that was greater than what you had before of the things that you were doing wrong. And it just brings to mind a lot of scripture that, you know, no man will draw you, but the Holy Spirit will draw you into him. And I believe that that testimony that you're giving is a prime example of that, John. I mean, it's just so awesome. You know, so many youth are afraid to even verbally say the actions that you took upon yourself and going down and giving your life to God, and, you know, in front of everybody, and being so transparent to your dad, because fear, you know, God said he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Your father was there for you. Your friend was there for you. But there are listeners out there right now, John, who feel just like you did and feel like they don't have anybody. What would you say to them right now?
Well, you know, right after I'd made that decision to live my life for the Lord, I actually didn't have a whole lot of Christian friends except for my friend named Aaron. And I knew I needed to cut ties with people that weren't living their life for the Lord, because it's easier for people to pull you down than it is for you to be able to pull people up. And I was really, even though I had grown up in a Christian home, and at times it felt like you grew up in a seminary, still, I was spiritually immature, and so I needed to surround myself with good Christian people. And a lot of the Christians I knew I thought were nerds. So, you know, I began to pray, God, please surround me with good Christian people that will uplift me and help me live a godly life. And it wasn't instantaneously, but God, as I continued to make that prayer to the Lord, Jesus did begin to surround me with good Christian friends. And, you know, some of those people I thought were nerds weren't so nerdy after all. Mm-hmm. And they just wanted me to live a victorious life in the Lord. And so they really just rally around me and would pray for me and pray with me. And those relationships have lasted to this day, where a lot of the relationships I had before when I'd party with people, they were just superficial. And those relationships have not lasted.
Yes, yes. So you would tell them to ask God.
That's right.
To go to the Lord. When you don't think you can have anyone that you can talk to in this world, you can go to Jesus Christ. That's phenomenal. That's really, really awesome. So, okay, so after you gave your life back to God, everything, you became new in him.
That's right.
God said he didn't come to condemn us, but he came to save us. So you were saved. No more condemnation. He washed everything that you did in your past, wiped it away, washed it away.
That's right.
He didn't see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Washed it in his precious blood.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what happened after that.
Okay. You know, it was great because the Lord gave me a fresh start. And as you're flipping through my book, actually the cover of it, you can see that I'm covered with mud,
mm-hmm.
and that there's water coming down from the sky. And that's just symbolic of all the sin and the guilt and the shame that I'd covered my life with. And when I came to Christ, he cleansed me free from
yes.
all that.
Amen.
But you know what? There were times that Satan tried to remind me of some of my past.
Oh, of course.
And I felt free from everything, and I felt like I had a fresh start. But there were some things that I had done, and Satan would continue to remind me of those. And so I had to work through that with prayer, because Satan likes to bring false guilt on. And mm-hmm. you said, you know, when we come to Christ, we're forgiven from everything that we've
done. Yes.
But Satan likes to remind you of that, to try to keep you down.
Because mm-hmm. he's a liar.
He's a liar. And, you know, if Satan can keep us down and make us feel unworthy, then he can keep us from reaching our full potential in Christ. But we just need to continue to claim God's mm-hmm. forgiveness on our life. And continue to ask for forgiveness. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We're going to continue to make mistakes. But after I had accepted Christ's forgiveness, you know, there was a time I thought, well, now I'm a Christian. All these great opportunities are going to come my way. I'm going to have a great job. I'm going to make great grades in school. Well, another year went by, and none of that really happened. I wasn't making good grades in school.
So you're like, okay, God, what's going on here?
Yeah. And I didn't have a great job opportunity that came my way. And then I realized God wants me to work hard. And I need to continue to pray and ask God to bless my hard work. So I took on a new mindset and a new attitude. And I really believed that the Lord wanted me to get a college degree. And at that time, that still seemed like a far-fetched reality for me to accomplish.
Based on what you see and what you've lived.
That's right.
But not based on Christ.
That's
right. And what he can do.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I re-enrolled into a local community college, and I took three courses, and I made two B's and a C that summer, some term. And I thought, wow, this is great. How can I do any better than this?
Mm-hmm.
And You know, I knew at that point I needed to get into a four-year school, that I couldn't earn a degree from a two-year institution. So my dad took me down to visit Houston Baptist University. He had a brother who was also a pastor mm-hmm. down in the area. And I, you know, later, a few years later, I asked, Dad, why did you take me down to HBU? And he said, well, you know, my brother's down there, and I felt like if you ever wound up back in trouble, I knew that he would be there to help you. But, you know, he took me to visit Houston Baptist University, and we had a great visit, and I felt like that's where God wanted me to go.
Amen. Amen. So right now you're getting ready to live the impossibilities, but there's nothing impossible with God. Well, audience, we're coming to a close of the show with John Lineberger, and he's coming back next week, and we're going to finish up on 17 truths to a changed life, what God did with a mess like me. And I'm telling you, I bet you all of us can relate to this phenomenal life-changing experience in Jesus Christ's salvation. So if you want more information about John, you can go to www.johnlineberger.com, or you can go to www.vinelifeconnection.com and contact me, email me. I always love your calls and emails. So audience, this time and next time, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life with host Janine Davis. For more information on today's show, you can go to www.vinelifeconnection.com.